I've got a bag of goodies here. We're going to do something fun with that in a little while. But in the meantime, we're going to get into God's Word. And I hope that you've had a good week. So one of the things I've got in my bag is this book that I read several years ago. It's by Chuck Swindoll. And it's called Laugh Again, Experiencing Outrageous Joy. And I truly believe that we as God's people need to laugh. We need the relief of laughter. We need some of the things. And you know, God is a God of laughter. He wants us to enjoy life. It's not the health and wealth gospel that everything's going to be great and everything's going to be perfect. The reality is there's going to be persecution. The Bible teaches us that. But we can have joy amidst God's word. In that book, he writes this. Chuck says, basically, there are two kinds of people. People who choose joy and people who don't. People who choose joy pay no attention to what day of the week it is, or how old they are, or what level of pain they are in. Get that? You know, you're with me, right? They have deliberately decided to laugh again because they have chosen joy. I want you to hang on that one word today because we're going to talk about it a couple of times. Chosen or learned. We've learned or we've chosen a lifestyle or an attitude. We're going to talk about it a great deal. So last Sunday, if you were with us, we talked about six thieves that steal our joy. Those thieves are the past. And we're to let go of the past, trust God in the future, live today as God wants us to live. Number two, legalism. Legalism was we're trying to earn God's favor, earn salvation. We can't do any of those things where we can't accomplish it on our own, so it makes us very, very frustrated. We can't do that. Number three, doubt. We begin to doubt. We learn Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has started something in you and he's going to finish it. So trust him with it. So we can say to that, when things come up, God, it's not my problem. You're going to take care of this. We need to remember that. All right. Number four, bad company. We've got to choose the company that we keep, build a relationship, have a relationship with Jesus, build that relationship with Christ, and stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Number five, worry. And we're going to talk about that again today because it's such an important factor. And then number six, holding on to control, trying to control things and trying to control our life as a believer and do things our way is as foolish as stepping onto an airplane at 7:47 in the morning and walking up to the cockpit and knocking on the door and said, listen, I don't know you, Mr. Captain, so would you please take my seat in E21 and I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to fly this plane. They're not going to let you do that because you can't. Let me tell you something. We can't fly our own lives. We need to trust God to do it. So, it's been a life of frustration. 2020 has had its frustrating moments. And I'm going to be honest with you about something. Anytime you preach a message, you know there's going to be satanic attacks that's going to come upon you. So I have myself experienced attack on every one of these thieves that I preached about last week. I've had my challenges this week, and I'm sure you probably have as well. Well, the CDC, I've been doing some research in this, and they shared the results of a survey that they conducted in June. In June, they said that more than 25% of the young adults between ages 18 and 24 that they had interviewed or surveyed, 25% of them said they were or had considered suicide. Let that sink in. 1/4 of the people, 18 to 25, that you see, if this is true, and I'm just giving their statistics, have considered or thought about suicide. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Of the 5,400 people that they did survey, 41% and I actually think this number might be a little bit low, said that they were experiencing anxiety and depression due to the things that were happening in 2020. By that, of course, we mean the COVID-19, the isolation, distancing, all the problems, the financial problems that have come as a result of all of this, the political stress that's upon us, politics, and all the things that are going on have just caused a massive amount of depression across our world. And I want to tell you something. We as believers are not exempt from that depression. However, we have answers to joy. And so today we're going to look at some keys that Paul gives us to find that joy. Now, many of you have told me that you did your homework. I asked you last week to go home and read the book of Philippians. I've had several come up to me and say they've read the book of Philippians. One gentleman said to me, he said, it's a book of encouragement, right? I said, yes, you got it. All right, because that's what it is. The interesting thing about the book of Philippians is the circumstance as which Paul wrote it under. This is an epistle that Paul wrote, and he wrote it from a prison. He was in prison when he wrote this. Now, it's not the lockdown in your luxurious home that we might think about. It's not even a prison behind bars where we have facilities that are very, very nice and we can go out and have recreation. I realize that they're terrible, but it's better than what Paul had. No. He was in a prison that was a pit. And it was difficult. And so, in that prison, he experienced, first of all, he couldn't go anywhere, couldn't leave it. He couldn't be around anybody, so he socially distanced, had isolation, socially distanced. Things were boring and difficult, and his life was in question. Does that not describe some of what we felt like since March 15th? A lot of us can shake our head. I see some heads going, yeah, I understand that. His future was in question. But I want you to understand this. Of the four epistles that Paul wrote, which would be Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians, he did not write the book of Philippians regarding a crisis as he did the others. He wrote the book of Philippians to encourage the Philippian believers because they had been so gracious to him and given so much and blessed him in so many ways. And so he wrote this book to do that. And I understand many of us can sort of relate to some of the feelings that he was having. Because life is not now like it was even 1 year ago. 1 year ago, people were sitting close to each other in church. 1 year ago, people would walk into church, they'd shake hands, they'd hug. They do all these things, and we can't do those things now. 1 year ago, we'd go to the grocery store, and we wouldn't have to worry about picking up different items. 6 months ago, I was in Sands, and people were fighting over toilet paper. Yes, we need to laugh about that, because it was, and I didn't quite understand what was going on. So what is going on? People are pushing carts. I got hit with a cart. They pushed me out of the way, and I thought, is there a fire? What's going on? That was the beginning of it all. Early March, March 15th, everything changed. And everything is different. This week, we remembered September 11th, 2001. And you probably, like me, looked at videos and pictures and wept. And you, like me, probably agree, our world has not been the same since. It's different, isn't it? Our world has not been the same since. Our world is different after. Our world has not been the same since March 15th, 2020. And I can't tell you how different our world's going to be in 2021, 2022. But I think we're going to remember 2020 as a time that changed the world. Sort of like September 11th, 2001 changed our world. So depression is a factor. You know, we got a couple options here. We can pretend that it doesn't exist and, hey, I'm doing great. I put on our Sunday morning smile and fix our hair, put on our clothes, walk in church. We want everybody to think that everything's great. We go home, we just kind of sigh. Things aren't great. Things are difficult. Maybe you're doing great, and if you are, wonderful. Wonderful, but the message is still for you. But I'm going to say that at least 50% of us are experiencing a little bit of anxiety and maybe depression and maybe even worse. The good news is this. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. The good news is this. We can learn, that's the word of the day, we can learn from the Apostle Paul how we can have joy in difficult circumstances. I mean, my goodness, Paul was in difficult circumstances and he had joy and he was an evangelist and he led people to Christ and he sang and he worshiped. He did all these things. What we don't see Paul doing is sitting there pouting or feeling sorry for himself because he found joy. I'm going to share these keys with you today. So I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And yes, I do like for us to stand for the reading of God's word. If we can do that for reverence to God, if you just want to stretch your legs, stand, that's fine. But we're going to be reading, begin reading in verse 4. And we're going to read on through verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Here's how he starts. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he repeats it. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, you know what depression, what brings depression on? Anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Every word of this passage is encouraging, isn't it? Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Paul's saying, learn from me. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice greatly now at the last. Your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, there to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everything and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. God, I pray that you add your blessings to the reading of the word right now. God, help us to understand and make a connection to what your word is teaching us and to what Paul is saying. And Lord, help us to understand that we too can find joy even in difficult circumstances. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So he gives us, as if it were, and I'm calling them keys because we have keys, and I have keys, and here is the key. Now, this particular key fits the cube. It's a very identifiable key. That's why I grabbed it first, because it's the biggest one. And I take this key, and I can unlock that door, open the door, and go freely into the cube, our student building. I can do that. When we find these keys, we can unlock the door that's kept us in depression, and maybe even worse, we can unlock that door and go into peace and to joy with our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can not all at once perhaps, but we learn it. You know, you didn't learn to speak all at one time. You didn't learn to write all at one time. You didn't learn math. You didn't learn history all at one time. You learned it a little bit at a time. You didn't learn to walk all at one time. You learn to stand up. You learn to take a step. It's all a little at a time. So be patient. And you can learn these things that Paul is teaching us in his word. Here's the first thing he tells us, and this is so important. Choose your attitude every day. Look what he said in verse 4 of that chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's a daily decision. When you wake up in the morning, maybe the first thing you do is you take some medicine. Maybe that's what you do. When you wake up in the morning, so I asked somebody, well, say, what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? They said, I put my feet on the floor. All right. Maybe you put your feet on the floor. Maybe you take medicine. Maybe you turn off the alarm clock. Whatever. When you put your feet on the side of that bed, sit there for a moment and think about it. Okay, God, today I'm going to choose, because that's one thing that every single one of us has the opportunity to do, to choose our attitude every single day. Now, you've already gotten up today. I don't know what the wake up was. Maybe you're awakened by a loud noise or something bad or a bad phone call, but you're going to wake up tomorrow. And you get to choose your attitude of the day. It's a daily decision. Every believer should have a reputation of joy. Look what he said in verse 5. Let your gentleness, in other words, your selflessness, your graciousness, your gentle spirit, let your gentleness be known to all men. We should have a reputation as believers, as Christians, of joy and peace and gentleness. When the world's blown up around us, they ought to be looking at us and say, why are you so calm? How can you handle this so well? Well, it's not me handling it. It's the Spirit of God that is in me. People should see the Lord in everything we do. The last part of that, verse 5, the Lord is at hand. So choose your, that's your first key. Remember that. Choose your attitude every day. It's like a combination lock. You got your first number there. Second number is this. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Look what he said. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. In other words, that's pleading with God. And with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And this is the promise that the Word of God gives us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's interesting that he says it. It will guard our hearts and our minds. Because here's what happens. When something happens in our life to cause us to worry, and I'm going to be honest with you, like I said, it's been a difficult week. That's one of the challenges I had. I had something that attacked me and it made me worry. And I worried and I worried. And I kept going back to this. All right. So it attacked. First, I found out about it. So it attacked my mind. All right. Then I stewed on it a little while and it began to attack my heart. That's how worry goes, isn't it? Well, how do we deal with that? How do we overcome it? Well, I'll tell you what works for me. I've got two verses of scripture written on a piece of paper sitting on my desk. I have two computer monitors, and under my left monitor is a sticky note, and I've got these two scriptures written out on that so I can see them every single day because I need to be reminded of this. One of those is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 because I'm going to share something with you here in just a minute. I want you to remember this. 1 Peter chapter 5. I think it's important sometimes that we turn there and we get to see it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7 says this. Therefore, there's an action required of us. Humble yourselves. That means take off the Sunday morning smile and be honest. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, putting ourselves in subjection to God, that he may exalt you, get this, in due time. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm not telling you you're going to do this tomorrow morning and everything's going to be perfect. In due time. Here's our next action. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Have you ever just called somebody and talked to them for about an hour because you just needed to talk to somebody? You needed to get it off your chest. You just needed to share this with somebody. And so you talk to them. Listen to me. That's good. And we need to do that. And you want to call me? Call me. I'll talk to you. That's fine. But listen, cast all your cares upon him Because he cares for you. He really does. God is our Abba Father. He cares for us. Now, look on down to verse 8. He tells us this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you've got an enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is, he's our enemy, as I said 2 weeks ago. Satan is our enemy. He's looking for us. He's looking to devour us. He's looking to defeat us. He wants to do anything he can do to stop or slow down our Christian witness and our testimony. And if he can make, if he can steal your joy, my joy, he's going to have a great success in doing that. Look at verse 9. Now, he tells us what to do about that. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brother in the world. Hey, what Peter was telling us there is that, listen, these things are happening to everybody. You need to resist the devil and cast your cares upon him. All right, another one. Another verse I've got on my desk. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Now to him who is able, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. You see what he's telling us? These three adjectives? Exceedingly, abundantly, and above. He's describing what God can do. All that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want God to do great things at First Baptist Church, but you know what God can do? God can't just do great things. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, and above anything that I can even imagine in your life and in First Baptist Church. And I promise you, if we let him do it, he will do it. Now, the verse that we camped on quite a bit last week, add that to your arsenal, add that to your key ring. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about anything. I'm going to tell you, this is a learned behavior. It's not something that happens like this. It's not something that's natural. It's not something that is quick. And you know how you learn worry? By going through trials. All right, so number one, we choose our attitude every single day. We don't worry about anything. Number three, we get control of our thought life. Finally, my brethren, verse 8, back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Our thought life is the one thing that can defeat us faster than anything in the world. What's going through your mind? What goes through our mind? We see billboards on the highway, and they make us think about something. We're watching TV, and if you notice it now, when you watch television, whether it's a new show, or if it's a new show, they're running little captions along the bottom of the screen. And so you're reading this, or listening to this, and you're reading this across the bottom, and all these things are hitting your mind. You may not even be looking at them directly, but they're still hitting your mind, and you're thinking about those things. We're being bombarded with things that are destroying our minds these days. They could be sexual things. They could be just things that cause us to worry. They could be a very untrue things. But these things are constantly going through our mind. So we need to get control of our thought. And Paul says in verse 9, these things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. He said, look, I'm sitting here in chains. I've learned how to do this. Here's how we do it. I'll give you a quick lesson, all right? At least that's how it's worked best for me. You ever go to the doctor and he wants to check your lungs? He says, take a deep breath. Then he says, exhale. Here's what we need to do. We have a bunch of just terrible information that's filled us up. And so it just filled us up. We need to exercise this sometime. Just completely let as much out of you as you can. And then pick up the Word of God and bring that in. Breathe out the things that have caused all the disruption in our life. Bring in the Word of God, the presence of God, the peace of God. And bring that in. Out with the bad, in with the good. Out with the bad, in with the Holy Spirit. Out with the bad, in with the things of God. You know, by the way, the word for spirit is pneuma, which is air. I think that's kind of interesting that we can bring that into our lives. All right. Number four. Live in the house that God has placed you in. And I've asked Tracy Wallace and Renita Watkins to come up here and help me with something. So I know where you're sitting. Come on up here. I'm going to have you do something. All right. Renita, I tell you, we stand right here. Tracy, come right over here. You walk through the difficult weather. Trying to stay 6 feet apart. All right, so Renita, we've been friends for, gosh, close to 20 years, haven't we? In fact, I even think you visited a church I pastored before. So we've been friends a long, long time. And Renita, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you and Todd and your family love you. I just want to give you a little gift. Thank you. And that's, look at this, got M&M's, peanut and chocolate both. Thank you. And so what do you think about that?
It's great, thanks.
Did I turn it on? I did turn it on, okay. So can you hear? So you like your gift?
Sure.
All right. Tracy, you and Britt have been friends with us for a long time. I really, really appreciate you guys. No. What do you think about your gift?
I am very, very appreciative. Thank you.
It's
way more appreciative than Renita.
Oh, no. Hold on just a minute. Renita, what do you think about your gift now?
It's small compared to that one.
But when you first got it, you thought it was great, right?
Yeah.
You were completely satisfied
yes.
until you saw her gift.
Yes.
That happens. That's all I got. It's empty. But I still do appreciate you very much. All right, give them a hand and let them go. And I'm going to explain this. Okay, see, here's the thing. Used to be, people didn't know a whole lot about our lives, right? I mean, we lived our lives, we had families, and our kids did things, and they graduated high school, they went to the military, or they went to trade school, or they started into a job, or they went to college and started a career. Whatever it was, they went and they did these things, and nobody knew much about it. I think this is the one thing that has affected joy in our lives more than anything else, that we need to live in. We need to learn to live in the house God has placed us in. You see, if I had had nothing but that little jar of M&Ms that I gave to Renita and said, listen, I love you, appreciate you, I've known your family a long, long, long time, she'd have said, oh, that's so nice, thank you. She thought nothing of it until she saw the giant jar that I gave to Tracy. Now, all of a sudden, she's like, no, wait a minute, does he like them better? How come she got a big jar and I got a little jar? That's what's happening today. And social media is making it terrible. And if you're younger and you're using social media more, you know, for us older ones, we really kind of hang out on Facebook. That's kind of our social media. But for the younger ones, there's Snapchat and Instagram and all these others. And so everybody's, you know, you don't typically put something on Facebook when bad things have happened or your life's going terrible. I realize some people do. But you know what we put on Facebook? All the wonderful accomplishments. Hey, my kid got first in his class. Hey, look at our brand new car. What about the payments associated with it? What that cost you? The maintenance? All these things. You know, all this stuff. Look how great my life is. Look how great things are going. And we think, you live in a nice house, you take care of your house. I grew up in a very modest home, it was a nice house, we took care of it. And then one day I went to a friend's house and went, wow, how come our house is so little? We do that every day. Listen, God has placed you, and I said in a house, I don't really mean particularly the house God has placed you in, but God has chosen and given you a life and a family. And he's provided for you. What we need to do is find joy and acceptance in that. Here's what Paul said. He said, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. There was a time they weren't given because they couldn't. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here's the problem, and I think this is probably the biggest hurdle that we have. This is, you know, the last number in your combination. We have four numbers. The last number in your combination is the one that opens the safe or opens the door. This is the one that can really cause us trouble. Discontentment. Here's what I know. Discontented people are unhappy people. When you're discontented, you're unhappy. You're dissatisfied. You're ungrateful. It doesn't matter what you give them. You see, I could have given Renita a $10 bill. Say, hey, look at this. Here's a $10 bill. She'd be, oh, that's great. But if I went over and gave Tracy a $100 bill, well, no, wait a minute. Why didn't I get a $100 bill? Otherwise, she'd have been happy with it. Look, what has God given you? God has given you and me great things. And we're discontented sometimes. Discontented people are jealous people. Jealous people are often proud people because they want to tell about all their accomplishments because they're jealous. They want to prove that they're better than everybody else. So they'll brag and brag about all these things. But jealous people are insecure people. Jealous people are, they may be proud people, but they're discontented people. And discontentment will steal your joy. Just grab it right out of that bag, no matter what it says on it. Contented people do things through Christ. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this might be the one verse that's been taken out of context more than any other verse. Paul is not telling us that if we write Philippians 4:13 on our forehead or put it on our luggage, on our weight bag or whatever, that we can walk into the gym, squat down, and pick up 600 pounds and deadlift it. He's not telling us that. What he is saying is, listen, I am in prison. I'm bound. I'm seized by these guards. I may die. I've learned to be content in all situations. And I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Contented people are happy with what they have. How many times have we gone to God? Say, God, you know what? God, I got a house. It's, you know, 950 square feet. And God, I've got a car. It's 10 years old. And what can you do? You can say, God, I don't like those things. Or you can learn from Paul and say, God, thank you for those things. Because that'll get me from here to work. It'll get me to the grocery store. God, I don't have a lot of money, but I can reach into my wallet and I can pull out a few dollars. I can get some groceries. I put gas in my car and it does run. It rattles a little bit, but it runs. It gets me around. You can do that. Or you can do what Satan wants you to do and say, no. You're a Christian. Remember, God takes care of his own. Look at him. Look what he has. Look what he's driving. Look where he lives. Look how much money he makes. Look at the clothes that she is wearing. Look how nice things are going in her life. Listen to me. You don't know what's going on in her life. You don't know the truth of what's going on in her life. You know what might show up on Instagram or what might be snapped to you. You might see what they put on Facebook, but you don't know what's going on in their lives. Learn to be contented in all things. Contented people trust God's supply. Verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you understand what he said there? My God will supply all. He's talking personally. He said, my God that I have confidence in and experience in is going to supply all of your needs. He's writing to the Philippian church. According to what? According to his riches in glory, because he has the ability to do it. We need to learn to live, and it's learn. We need to learn to live in the house, the circumstances, and the life that God has put us in, and thank him. Thank him for what he has given us. I'm going to tell you, that's not an attitude that's resolved in an hour or a day or 2 days. That's something that is learned over a long time. Would you do this? Would you start learning it today? And as I'm doing it, I'm not pointing at you, because if I am, these other are pointing back at me, because it is hard to learn. It's a battle that we face every single day of our lives. But these are keys that'll unlock the door to joy in our lives if we trust him. You know, we're going to have a word of prayer in just a minute. When we do, listen, I know there's things on your heart like there are on mine. I know this scripture. I know it spoke to you like it did me. I know what Paul said affects you like it does me. And I also know this, that you're like me, and sometimes we're not all that contented. We get a little dissatisfied. We worry. Listen, take those keys one at a time. Unlock this door, unlock this door, unlock this door, unlock this door. You want to look at them as combination lock. Here's number 1, 2, 3, 4. Then pull down the handle and go in. But if you or I hear what the Word of God says and do absolutely nothing with it, the words that Paul wrote, that I'm convinced God put Paul in that jail to learn to write, are wasted on you and me. You can come, you can kneel here in this altar, and you can pray. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where you need to start. I can show you how you can have a relationship with Christ. You start laying these things down on the altar, giving those things to him, trusting God to unlock these joys in our life. Let's pray. God, I pray that you be with us today. Lord, I give the message, I give the words, I give the scripture to you, Lord. I'm trusting you with it, God. Lord, touch our hearts. Help us to feel your presence. And God, this week, as Satan's going to try to battle us, Lord, help us to be strong and trust you with it. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.